Good morning. It's the NBA Strategy Show for Thursday, December 8th. I'm Ryan. He's Adam. Sponsored by Prize Picks. Hope everyone's having a great morning so far. But Adam, how are you?
Pretty good. A little annoyed by how I played last night's slate. So ready to get to a different one.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of moving parts by the end of the night. Obviously, I believe the Utah Jazz coach had one of the most questionable pregame press conferences, saying he wants to size up for Kevon Looney specifically, which blew my mind that he was treating Kevon Looney like he's mid-2000s Dwight Howard and decided to start Walker Kessler. But I do think there was a lot of opportunity for a late swap, but then it kind of forced a lot of players' hands what to do when Kuminga was projected such a great point per dollar play, value play all day, and then he was ruled coming off the bench. It really made a very interesting decision point where a lot of people who chose maybe not to late swap, maybe Kuminga would just went off. And it was a very interesting outcome that way. But here we are to talk about a three-game slate where we got the Clippers taking on Miami, Houston taking on San Antonio, and Denver taking on Portland. A bunch of questionable news, as always. Seems like every single day, teams are just benching the whole squad. And we'll see what ends up happening tonight. But let's go ahead and start on the Clippers taking on Miami side of things. Clippers are visiting Miami. It is a back end of a back-to-back for this Clippers team. They're getting some guys back. I mean, Marcus Morris and Luke Kennard are both probable, while Kawhi Leonard, who is the cover boy, the thumbnail of the strategy show, is ruled doubtful as he's on a back end of a back-to-back. I expect Paul George and John Wall to play, while this Clippers team comes in. It's the lowest total on the slate right now. I think last I checked was 213.5, an awfully, awfully low total for this game compared to the other two games. But let's just start on the Clippers side of things. It's Paul George. Paul George comes in at 9-2, 8,600, and $36 on DraftKings, FanDuel, and Yahoo. With no Kawhi Leonard, it's been a while he's going to be able to play without Kawhi, I think. In the last couple of games, they've shared the court together where – right, I'm going to have to take some chances on Paul George at this price tag. Definitely seems like someone we should be looking to roster. I do think he has a potential to be a slim chance of one of the top two or three high-scoring players on the slate by the come the end of the night. Slim chance for him to be the top overall scorer, but there's no Kawhi Leonard. I do think the usage and the facilitation, shot creation should be going through Paul George. How do you feel about Paul George? I know it's a three-game slate. I'm sure you're going to have some interest for sure.
Yeah, I think he looks good. On DraftKings, shooting guard, small forward eligible is nice. $9,200 price tag is reasonable. He played about 32 minutes last night, so that was good to see. We had seen him play around 28 in his first game back, and then immediately after the game said that he's playing today. So I assume that he's just going to go play at least another 32 to 33 minutes, if not more. Without Kawhi on the floor this year, 1.24 DraftKings points per minute for George, 32% usage rate. Pulling 22% ownership, we have him with a 26% chance of being optimal right now. So actually projected to go a little bit under-owned. I think he looks good.
Yeah, Paul George looks pretty outstanding. And now we're dealt with the situation for other guys on this team on this three-game slate. I do think you can definitely take some chances on this Clippers team. This Clippers team pretty much for the rest of the regular season when Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are sharing the court. It's going to be tough to go to anyone in confidence. I certainly feel the same way, but with no Kawhi Leonard, Should we be taking some chances on guys like Marcus Morris? Is it Zubac or John Wall? For me, I can't go to anyone in confidence right off the bat. I'm willing to take some chances on Marcus Morris. He has shown an upside this season, comes in at 5'5". 4,900 FanDuel price tag looks pretty solid. Willing to take some flyers at 16 on Yahoo. But rest of this team, I know it's a three-game slate, organically will probably fall on some of these guys, but how do we attack this in terms of tournaments? Is there someone that has the highest ceiling among them? Is it Zubac? Is it a Reggie Jackson maybe? It's really gross for me.
Yeah, I think the rest of this team outside of George is just like guys that have the opportunity to do well, but that it's kind of difficult to pinpoint like which one you really want to get to. You mentioned Marcus Morris at 5,500, certainly has the potential to play north of 30 minutes here. John Wall, when he plays, is really good. It's just a matter of how many minutes is he going to get. Risky high upside play there. Zubac is really interesting to me though at 6,500. It does become a little bit easier for him to play more minutes when one or both of George and Kawhi are out. We got about 32 minutes in regulation from Zubats last game, even with both of them in yesterday. So I think that was a good sign as well. And we know he's a really good point per minute guy when he's out there. So 6,500 for Zubats at only 3% ownership is really interesting to me.
Yeah, it's definitely worth taking some chances. Obviously, we'll touch on the opportunity cost of center when there's Nikola Jokic on the slate. So it's definitely worth taking some chances on Zubac on a three-game slate like this. But low total, I don't have much to touch on. Luke Kennard coming back into the rotation really does muddy things up for guys like Terrence Mann, Nick Batum, kind of like the whole wing position they have going there. Even Covington's there. It's really tough because Ty Lue can just pick and choose to give the one guy 20 minutes, plus 20 plus minutes. And it feels like it's kind of changes on a game-to-game basis, in my opinion. I think he's also trying to figure out what the rotation ideally should look like throughout the season, just because both Paul George and Kawhi Leonard have been injured and missed quite a bit of time to start the season. Any final thoughts on this Clippers team before we just move on to the Miami side of things?
No, I think that's about it for me.
All right. If everyone can click the like button for us, that'll go a long way. Additionally, please make sure to check out our BetMGM sponsor. You can get a risk-free $1,000 bet, which is super exciting. Make sure to take advantage of that offer. These are all limited time offers for these sports books, so don't miss out on that BetMGM offer. Essentially, you can get a risk-free bet and then 2 months of Stochastic Platinum for free. Just take advantage of the link found in the description, follow the instructions, and get rewarded. 2 months of Stochastic plus Platinum for free sounds awesome, plus the risk-free bet. So don't miss out on that opportunity. On to the Miami side we go. Here we are, a team that kind of rested everyone the other night. I got burned by some of the decisions I made. I believe that was Tuesday night. But here we have Jimmy Butler questionable. And with him coming back into the picture, and this team just doesn't look as exciting as they did the other night. As Butler is questionable, and everyone else has been ruled probable at this moment. That being Max Strus and Tyler Hero. So on the Miami side of things, up top, there's Bam, there's Tyler Hero, and Jimmy Butler. That's kind of their big three. And then there's Kyle Lowry in the second tier when all these guys are healthy. Bam and Hero, 8,400 and 7,700, while Butler comes in at 86 on DraftKings. They're priced very, very expensive on FanDuel. 9K for Bam, 9,900 for Butler, and 84 for Tyler Hero, 73 for Kyle Lowry. Those guys are very expensive over there on FanDuel, but it's a three-game slate. I mean, these guys have tournament-winning upside against this Clippers team. It's a low total. For me, I'm always excited to take my chances on Bam. He's center only, but tonight when there's Jokic on the slate in a Portland matchup, I'm very skeptical of going to Bam. I do think, honestly, my favorite Heat player might be Tyler Hero at $7,700 on DraftKings. Tough for me to go there at $8,800. Right now, the way that things stick out, they're expensive, and I don't feel confident in going to any one of these players in any sort of significant ownership fashion. What's your counter argument to that? I think you might think differently than I do.
On DraftKings, I think they're priced well. Hero, 7,700. He's playing a ton of minutes, even when this team is healthy. If you assume that Butler is in, it negatively impacts the production for Hero, Adebayo, and Lowry, but they're at price points where they're not really priced for Butler to be out, which is weird because Butler's missed so many games recently. But 7,700 for Hero, you know, even if Butler is in and you're probably getting 36-ish minutes from Hero, looks really good. Bam, still a good option at 8,400 on a three-game slate. Lowry should still be playing around 36 minutes. And then Butler himself, assuming he's good to go, I expect him to play into the mid-30s. So those four guys all look good to me. After that, you know, Caleb Martin at 5K on a three-gamer, if you want to try that, sure. We know Oladipo is still going to be limited. Strus is expensive and will be most likely moving back to the bench, assuming Butler's in. So it's pretty much, you know, Hero, Bam, Lowry, Butler, and then I don't really care about the rest.
Yeah, the rest just sucks. Victor Oladipo's back in the rotation. He's going to soak up some minutes from that from the second unit for sure. Over there in Yahoo, I just want to touch on some exciting price points. I think Bam at 32 looks pretty solid. I know you can roster two centers over there. Just wanted to give him a shout out over there. I think he's someone you can definitely consider rostering over there on Yahoo. So on to the next game we go. This three-game slate, we're just zooming by, but if everyone can click the like button for us, that'd be fantastic. But I do want to touch on our sponsor, PrizePicks, and I'm sure many of you have already been playing PrizePicks. It's a fun prop-based game where you just pick over and under based on the propositions they provide. And we'll touch on some exciting props, especially in the Houston and San Antonio game, as this game has a massive, massive total compared to the other two games, I believe. This checks in right now at 230 and a half. This is a pretty pretty high total, as Houston's favored by 1.5 against the Spurs team. On the Houston side of things, Kevin Porter Jr. is questionable, and that's pretty significant news, as he is their lead usage guy on many nights for this Houston team, and he is questionable at this moment. And Josh Christopher is also questionable, and Bruno Fernando is questionable, and Jayshon Tate remains to be out. But with KPJ questionable, I do think with this high total, we have an opportunity to give ourselves a position where the field might not be able to get this rotation right, or if he is in, we can be also take advantage of this position. So Porter Jr. comes in at $7,300, and then additionally $7,600 on FanDuel. And $29 on Yahoo. I think Kevin Porter Jr., if he plays, looks like an amazing play. I think he has the upside to win the tournament on a three-game slate. And I think if he's out, we can take advantage of that situation by giving him a position to take the over the field on Jalen Green. $69 and $6,700. Both of these guys, if they're in, I love them both. Also on $29 and $26 on Yahoo. Talk about me. They're kind of like dynamic too, and KPJ and Jalen Green, and also the situation with KPJ questionable.
Yeah, I agree with you that if they're both in, they look good. Jalen Green only 6,900. He's likely to give you 34, 35 minutes. So he's going to look good one way or the other. If Kevin Porter Jr. is out, he clearly looks even better. We've gotten 109 minutes from Green without Porter on the floor this year. He has a 38% usage rate over that time, 1.13 DraftKings points per minute. Overall, he's been about a fantasy point per minute guy, 0.98 DraftKings points per minute, 28.7% usage rate overall this season for Green. So expecting 34, 35 minutes from him is just going to look good in what's a pretty appealing matchup. Should be a high scoring game. Kevin Porter Jr., if he's in at 7,300, also is going to look good for the season. He's averaged 1.08 DraftKings points per minute, 26% usage rate, 27% assist percentage, more involved as a playmaker than Green is, so not quite as scoring dependent. Both of those guys are going to look good. Şengün at 5,800, I don't totally know why his price tag keeps falling. Like, I know he's coming off of a disappointing game against Philadelphia, but that's still a game where he played 28 to 30 minutes in regulation. For the season, Şengün has averaged just shy of 1.2 DraftKings points per minute. And the only real concern for him recently has been with Bruno Fernando back from injury, was Şengün going to go back to the bench like we saw earlier in the year? Were they going to go to a true three-man center rotation? But we've seen Şengün maintain the starter's role. We've seen him continue to play the same minutes he was playing previously. The only difference to the center rotation is that instead of Garuba getting all of the backup minutes, Fernando's been getting some of them. So it hasn't really impacted Şengün yet. His price keeps falling, makes him look like a fantastic option here. Certainly doesn't hurt that he's not going up against a particularly high usage center anyway, so, or for San Antonio. So he still certainly can get in foul trouble, but it does lower the chances of that as well. So I think Şengün and Green and Porter are the three pieces that look really good from Houston. But then with it being a three-game slate, you have other stuff to get to as well. Jabari Smith has finally started to knock down some threes. He's only 5K, should play around 30 minutes. Eric Gordon has not been good this year, averaging two-thirds of a fantasy point per minute, but he's only $3,900. He's likely to give you 28 to 30 minutes as well. So that's a reasonable value. Even guys like Tari Eason and KJ Martin, I think getting probably around 18 minutes for Eason, probably low 20s for Martin on a three gamer, it's not a bad spot to gamble on those guys.
No, yeah, I just want to follow up on that situation. Yeah, I love Şengün. A lot of interest in Jabari Smith Jr. for sure. I'll be definitely getting to multiple Rockets tonight for sure. But let's touch on the Kevin Porter Jr. questionable situation. Now, if he were to be ruled out, it's tricky. Last time we had the situation, I believe it was about 2 weeks ago, Kevin Porter Jr. was out. Jalen Green ended up being one of the most owned players on the slate. He ended up being disappointing in terms of performance, but he found a way to get there at the end. Jalen Green's going to look outstanding, as will some of the other Rockets. But then, in a situation with no KPJ, if there's no KPJ, should we be going to potentially a Deshaun Nix at 3,200? I think Nix is someone is kind of like low key in play right now, potentially just because of his salary. When there's a high price Jokic on the slate, we want to jam in a stud, the stars and scrubs slate. Nix has some offensive upside in his game where I'm willing to take some chances as is, but if there's no KPJ, he might look like a solid value option. How does the rotation play out for Silas with no KPJ? It can go in multiple couple ways just because of, I think Jabari Smith's minutes are a bit more safe now. I know his minutes and KPJ minutes don't interfere, but I just think the minutes kind of are all over the place. Is it Garrison Matthews who steals some minutes? I'm really curious on what that could look like.
Yeah, so I think you would see probably more playing time from Knicks. He's essentially been Kevin Porter Jr.'s backup this year. I don't know that they would move him into the starting lineup. Typically for Houston this year, when someone's been out, they throw KJ Martin into the starting lineup, and they certainly could here. You know, you move Jalen Green to the one, Eric Gordon to the two, KJ Martin slides in at the three like he normally does. They have enough flexibility they can do that. So I'm not sure that Knicks would just start over Porter, but it would open up more minutes for him to play. And at the cheap price tag, I agree, you know, at 3,200, if Porter is out, I do think Knicks ends up looking like a good value. You probably get more playing time from Garrison Matthews as well. Not as appealing, I don't think, for the season. I mean, with Matthews, you kind of know what you're getting. He's going to play defense and try and knock down threes. Matthews averaging 2/3 of a fantasy point per minute, Knicks at 0.71. So I think you would probably see increased playing time for both of those guys. But if KJ Martin were to end up starting in place of Porter, increased playing time for him as well. He's averaging 0.85 DraftKings points per minute this year, and that would be the spot that I really want to get to.
All right. So there's really big, kind of big news that kind of maybe the field is going to overlook today. So rookie guard Ty Washington, who I think is extremely talented, has been called up by the from their G League team. And he was lighting it up in the G League as he should. I mean, he was averaging over 20 a game, just under 38% from three, north of four assists, just under 32 minutes. He's talented. And I do think him being called up doesn't mean anything about KPJ's injury. I do think he's an NBA rotation player right away. He was drafted 29th. I'm willing to take some chances on Ty Washington if we get any sort of, if KPJ is out. I think he's going to get some minutes. I do think at some point he'll pass Knicks in the rotation. And I'm about taking some chances on some unknown quantities on a three-game slate, especially Ty at 3K. He's someone I'm going to be playing potentially today if there's no KPJ for sure. And Silas has given some strong coach speak on him. Not that that means much, but he said he'll try to get him some minutes. So we'll see what that looks like. It might take some time, but I just want to tell everyone that that is on the table for tonight if there's no KPJ. Just trying to get a little different on these three-game slates. I do think he won't get that much ownership. Any thoughts on, or 2 cents on Ty Washington for you?
If Porter's out, like, I agree that it's probably a spot where it's not a bad gamble. Like, I doubt I would end up getting there. I don't know. I haven't done rotations without Porter yet. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. He's up from the G League. He's a first-round pick. He's reasonably likely to play minutes if Porter is out, and probably won't be owned, but certainly still, I think, a pretty big gamble there. Yeah. Also, if Deshaun Knicks were to start, I think Ty Washington actually looks better.
Okay. Yeah, no, I see where you're going with that as well. That makes sense for sure. Just wrapping up the front court, Jabari Smith Jr. Has looked much better of late. I like that. I really like that price tag at 5K. 5,800 on FanDuel seems a bit expensive. But one guy that has shown upsides kind of randomly, and I kind of just want to focus on this Houston team because of this high total in this game, Tari Eason comes in at 4,300 and 4,600. How do you feel about Tari Eason? He's someone who I've been playing more than KJ Martin just because I think he has a higher ceiling than times. Maybe my personal bias is kind of overtaking what the results have actually been, but any interest in Tari Eason just because of this total, man. A lot of these players are on the table on this three-game slate.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's playable just because it's a three-gamer. He's averaging 1.1 DraftKings points per minute this year. He's 4,300. I typically project him for about 18 minutes. Sometimes you see a little bit more. Last game, he played a couple of minutes alongside Jabari Smith, so he got up to 20.8. I think the ownership's pretty much where it should be. We have him projected for 13% ownership, 16% chance of being optimal. I think, you know, the field's pretty much got it right.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. On to the San Antonio side we go. But before we go on the San Antonio side, everyone check out that 3-day trial we have for all our customers. Free 3-day trial. It was on the bottom banner earlier, but make sure to check that out. Go to stochastic.com/join. 3-day trials across the board, especially for the NBA. Get access to so many data and tools to take your DFS game to the next level. So make sure of that. Check that out for sure. The stochastic three-day trial. Shout out to producer Jordan throwing up a killer graphic on the screen. On to San Antonio we go. San Antonio is also dealing with some injury situations as well, as there is no Kata Bates-Diop, no Jeremy Sochan. Doug McDermott is probable, but Devin Vassell is doubtful. Jakob Poeltl continues to be out, and then I believe Romeo Langford is probable. So Devin Vassell is doubtful. That is pretty big news for this San Antonio Spurs team, but that's going to lead us to the opportunity for us to go to Keldon Johnson, who comes in at $7,600 on DraftKings, $75 on FanDuel, comes in at $28 over there on Yahoo. Looks outstanding to me. I think he's a kind of a priority spend up. Spend up at 76 is something I'm going to be willing to take some chances on. Trey Jones, 64 on both sides, only 23 on Yahoo. Another guy I think we should be considering to take some chances on. No Poeltl, Zach Collins was getting a lot of ownership about a week ago. And now we've seen Bassey also get some minutes down the stretch here. He comes in at a nice $3,600 on DraftKings, where if you want to spend down and take some chances, certainly on the table. But with no Vassell, there's opportunity for usage to be spread around. Jakob Poeltl remains out. The Spurs team in a great, great game environment. How do you take advantage of this team for DFS tonight?
Yeah, I think they're the most favorable team. I mean, it's a really, really good game, and you are missing a lot of usage. You're getting a lot of minutes opening up. Without Devin Vassell on the floor this year, Keldon Johnson's played 337 minutes. He's averaged 1.16 DraftKings points per minute, 31.9% usage rate. I've mentioned it before with him when Zach Collins is on the floor instead of Poeltl. You also have seen an uptick in rebounding for Keldon Johnson. I don't think it continues at the rate we've seen so far, but it is noteworthy to me that you've seen that uptick for him. So there's a couple of different ways he can see increased production here with Vassell doubtful and Poeltl out. Zach Collins, I expect to start again. I think he still looks good at 5,100. Dealt with some foul trouble last game. Don't want to read into that. I expect you're getting, you know, upper 20s in minutes from him in most games. And he's, you know, over a fantasy point per minute guy. So he's going to look good. You mentioned Charles Bassey. He's not on the injury report today, so doesn't appear to be in the G League, should still be with the team. I wasn't really sure what to do with him last game because we had seen Isaiah Roby actually move ahead of him as the backup center. But then last game, Bassey was the first center off the bench. Collins, you know, picked up his two quick fouls and Bassey came in for him. Bassey ended up playing 20 minutes because he got about 6 minutes of garbage time as well. I expect that you're getting pretty much the center minutes split between Collins and Bassey. You could get a little bit of Gorgui Dieng in there as well. We saw him play like 7 minutes in non-garbage time in that last game also. So I don't know that it's necessarily a 48-48 split, but I think it is likely you're getting at least mid-teens from Bassey here at 3,600, which is appealing because he's a very, very good point per minute fantasy producer. So I like getting there. I understand why he's getting ownership. Trey Jones has been a fantasy point per minute guy overall this year. He's up to about 1.06 fantasy points per minute without Vassell on the floor. So he looks good. No Kata Bates-Diop should open up more minutes for Isaiah Roby. He played 18 minutes last game. 8 of that was garbage time. So his role his rotation last game was a bit concerning because we did see him not get those backup center minutes that he had recently been getting. But with Kata Bates-Diop out, I think that there's minutes available there for Isaiah Roby to pick up. So I think he's maybe getting a little bit more ownership than he should at 37%, given that Josh Richardson is expected to be back as well. Just, you know, changes up the rotation a bit and adds another body, you know, to the bench. But I do think that Roby still offers some value. Josh Richardson at 4,100 looks okay. There's just a ton to get to on this team.
Yeah, no, this team across the board looks pretty outstanding. I think you did a great job of giving us options there. Trey Jones, if you want to give some love to our Prize Picks sponsor, take advantage of some of those over props, especially in this game environment. Prop line at 7.5 for his assists, 13.5 for his points. Feel free to take some chances on the over, as we have him hitting the over there on the assist spot 63% of the time, and then 60% for that points over as well. If you want to start off your Prize Picks card with Trey Jones, don't have no issues following our data and tools team there. Yeah, this I think I'm a little less skeptical in the front court. There's so many ways that I think I can get screwed over with Collins and Bassey, but Bassey at the 3,600 price tag, I think I prefer him to Collins just because of the savings. Not sure what I can do with all the savings on the slate, as there aren't that many super studs, but and then there's Roby in the picture. So I do think I could maybe get a little too cute if I'm overexposed in the of the Spurs front court. Malachi Branham out of Ohio State, kind of an interesting prospect, maybe. He's cheap if you're looking for a cheap, I think, potential Deshaun Knicks pivot, a potential popular Deshaun Knicks pivot. I do think Branham's on the table for some interest, but it's Keldon Johnson, Trey Jones, and then mixing and matching some of those secondary and third tier guys for the Spurs team. Just want to
Yeah,
take advantage.
and you mentioned Branham. As far as those third tier guys, Branham, McDermott, Langford, they're all reasonable just because they're basically minimum salary and there's a lot of minutes to go around for this Spurs team. McDermott for the year, 0.75 DraftKings points per minute. Langford and Branham both around 0.6. If Alize Johnson somehow steps into minutes, that's one that like could just win the slate because he is a good point per minute guy, but I think he is also behind pretty much everybody else in the rotation. So him getting those minutes would involve a rotation change, but I do think he's kind of interesting to think about just because he's a good point per minute guy.
Yeah, and I think you got to be willing to take some chances on a three-game slate with some kind of not too off-the-wall plays, but guys who have certainly a ceiling at a cheap price tag at times on three-game slates at low ownership to kind of differentiate yourself. More times than not, the field is on its way to solid builds, and more times than not. But yeah, it's a great Spurs team. Take advantage of this game environment. I do think the field will get there throughout the day, and as our ownerships evolve, I do think a lot of ownership will be on these Spurs players. Onto the Denver and Portland side we go. If everyone can click that like button, if you guys are listening to us on the podcast form, if you can leave that 5-star review, that'd be awesome as well. Onto the Denver and Portland side we go. The Denver team, there's Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon. They continue to be without Michael Porter Jr., and then we've seen Bruce Brown Jr. play a lot of minutes that way. KCP played a handful of minutes the other night. Nikola Jokic at 11-3. But first, I talk about Nikola Jokic. I asked our producer before the show, who do you think, who is the best European basketball player of all time?
Dirk.
Dirk, you don't think it's Giannis?
Not yet, probably.
Okay.
I mean, it's
I
also
think.
not anything I've given any thought to. Like, I just don't think about basketball.
I asked Jordan this question. I do think Giannis has passed Dirk, but I that might be a hot take, but I do think Giannis has passed Dirk. And then I think Jokic is three. But I think at some point Luka might crack the top three. There's still the Gasols and I do think Giannis has passed Dirk. It might be a hot take. It might be a hot take, but we'll see what the chat has to say about that. But Jokic comes at 11-3. Love Jokic. And by far, could be the highest scoring player on the slate by 20 points on the slate. So I got to have significant amount of interest in Jokic today while taking some chances on a Murray who's playing a lot more minutes as he's in the mid-30s minutes a lot of nights at 7-2. Seems priced appropriately. Aaron Gordon has played much better this season in terms of fantasy perspective than he did last season. He comes in at 6,300. There are a lot of guys who have fantasy upside in the second tier. That's always difficult for me to go in there in significant ownership. A guy like Bruce Brown, Bones Highland. KCP's playing a ton of minutes, shooting lights out from three all season long. Talk to me about this Nuggets team taking on Portland.
Yeah, so still no Michael Porter Jr. And like you said, we have seen Aaron Gordon play better recently. I liked his quote after last game. He was sort of asked, like, what's changed? And he basically just said he's come to the realization that he's faster than the bigger guys and bigger than the smaller guys, which is sort of why Aaron Gordon's been so appealing from an NBA standpoint for a while. He played 31 and a half minutes last game. You're typically getting around 31 minutes from him at this point. Overall, this season, without Porter on the floor, Gordon's averaged 1.12 DraftKings points per minute. Gets it done in a variety of ways. 22% usage rate in those minutes, also a double-digit assist percentage, and nearly a 14% rebounding percentage. So I think he's going to look good. Still sitting there at 6,300, pulling 25% ownership. Jamal Murray at 7,200 certainly looks good as well. 1.09 DraftKings points per minute for him without Michael Porter Jr. on the floor should give you 32 plus minutes. If you can get to Jokic, great. He's pulling 33% ownership, so I assume it's not going to be that difficult. We have plenty of value from San Antonio, possibly plenty of value opening up on Houston. So, shouldn't be that tough to get there. And this is the first slate in a while, I think, where Jokic actually looks like a priority because he's been on so many slates recently where, you know, one, if it's a normal size slate, you just have a lot of center options. But then also, you know, he has to compete with Giannis and Luka and, you know, all these other guys at the top. And it just makes him difficult to get to. But today does seem easier to get there. So certainly happy with that. One big takeaway from last game was that Bones Highland did reemerge in the rotation. I was joking with Josh before the game that it was going to be interesting to see how it went because, you know, we had seen him play like 22 minutes in his second game back from illness, but then he only played 5 minutes and Malone, you know, he kind of seemingly was out of favor in the rotation. But then before the last game, Malone said that he had, you know, spoken to Highland and that they were on the same page and they really need Highland to anchor that second unit. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. They're going to go back to Highland. And then he follows it up with also saying that they need Christian Brown to start playing more minutes and play well. And it was like, oh, okay, he's just doing the Jason Kidd thing where he names everybody on his bench and says that he wants to try and get them minutes. So I didn't really know exactly what to make of it. But then we saw Bones Highland come back and just play that second unit role. He played 30 minutes, didn't even close the game. He closed the first half over Bruce Brown. That was, I think, foul related. But if you're going to get mid-20s in minutes from Bones Highland, he's a very good point per minute guy. 1.12 DraftKings points per minute without Porter this year. He's in that same range overall this season. So at 5,600, I think Highland is a volatile option, but certainly has a very high ceiling. Bruce Brown should give you mid-30s minutes at 6,200. Should remain in the starting lineup without Porter. So that's a reasonable option. I think Jokic, Murray, Gordon, Brown all look good. Highland looks good off the bench. Then you kind of take a step back to KCP as that fifth starter. Not a very good point per minute guy, but he's only $4,200. He's likely to play 30 to 32 minutes. It's a three-game slate. So I think he's a step behind those first five guys, but he also, you know, warrants some ownership as well.
Yeah, no, those first five guys, I think, all have some merit in tournaments. I think you laid it out as strong reasons why you should consider playing them on a three-game slate. No one really else on the second unit over here on the Denver side of things, but getting the above the field on a couple of these Denver guys, I do think you might differentiate yourself from the field in a decent amount. I like Bones Highland quite a bit at 5K. I think, like you said, volatile, has the upside. 5K over there in FanDuel, definitely take some chances with him. Over there, KCP is an option at $12 on Yahoo, but where you get the 3-point bonus on DK, I have no issues taking someone at 4,200. A guy who I usually don't like rostering on larger slates, but a three-game slate definitely should be considered because of the minutes he plays, and he gets a handful of threes up, and where you get the 3-point bonus, it slowly can add up over time over there on DK. But Jokic, kind of like the cream of the crop of the slate, looks fantastic at 11-3, a priority at 11-5 on FanDuel for sure. And there will be some value potentially that can open up for us for him to kind of fit in there with another star potentially on the slate, another high price guy. Any final thoughts on Denver?
Just other kind of notes on their rotation last game. I don't think it matters for DFS, but you know, if you are looking for just some random dude to throw into lineups in large field tournaments, we did see Christian Brown return to the rotation ahead of Devon Reed. He only played 16 minutes, not a good point per minute guy, not something that I really care about much for DFS, just nice to know he's back in the rotation. And then we got Zeke Nagy as the backup center instead of DeAndre Jordan, which was surprising. We've seen that happen a couple of times this year, but I think both times were against OKC. This was, you know, obviously a different matchup against Dallas. I have no idea which guy's going to play center tonight against Portland. I don't know if that was just a, hey, Najee hasn't played in a bit, let's get him some minutes, or if that was an actual change. I expect it to be Jordan, but again, I'm not really confident in that. It matters a little bit just because if it is Jordan, you know, it's a fantasy point per minute guy. Najee's only 3/4 of a fantasy point per minute. So like if I knew for sure Jordan was going to play, there would at least be some merit in going to him at basically minimum salary and hoping to get lucky. With Najee, I think it's a little bit more difficult just because you need to get lucky on the minutes, and then you also need him to like drastically outperform what he normally does.
I guess I woke up the monster in Josh this morning. He is firing at all cylinders in the chat, but here we are.
Yeah, well,
but
he didn't know he wasn't doing this show until like 10 minutes beforehand, so he just needs to incite people somehow.
Gotcha. Well, Josh, I appreciate the swap. I was supposed to have a flight during the original deeper dive, and my flight got moved to tomorrow. So we could have swapped back, but I felt like I didn't want to be annoying. So, but no, I think, yeah, Malone is so tough in the second half, second unit rotation at times, just because it's just been so inconsistent. And I think he's also trying to find his footing and which guys to play. The only minutes who I feel kind of safe at all times is just Jeff Green and everyone else. I'm like, I mean, the second tier guys being Konkar, Zeke, and Ish, and sometimes Devon Reed's in there, Braun's in there. We might even see DeAndre Jordan in there today. Who knows what Malone might do. So
yeah, we basically just saw him like global swap his second unit last game. If Smith didn't play, Chanchar only played 7 minutes. Reed didn't play. You had Green back, so he played 18. Like you said, Green, like, you know, he's going to get those minutes, but it also just kind of is useless from a DFS standpoint because he's not a good point per minute guy.
Yeah. So onto the Portland side we go. We're just chugging along on this three game slate, but I don't have any final thoughts on Denver. Just be willing to take, be over the field on some of these starters. I know they're don't grade as the greatest point per dollar value plays, but the upside of some of these players look awesome. But onto the Portland side we go. Click the like button, everybody. That'd be awesome for us as we wrap up this three game slate on a busy, busy NFL Thursday content day. Dame Lillard, $9,700 on DraftKings, $95 on FanDuel, comes in at $35 on Yahoo. Really love the Yahoo price tag. He's expensive at FanDuel at $9,500 and it's on DraftKings, but it's Dame Lillard, three game slate. The upside is definitely there. He has made, if you were to run the slate 100 times, he could be the top scorer maybe four or five times potentially. Maybe that may be a little high, but especially when Jokic is on the slate, it's tough to outscore him. But Lillard just has that upside within him. It's a three game slate. I know he might come in a bit underowned because at this elevated price tag, I want to take some chances on him. While backcourt mate Anthony Simons, it's tough for me to go here in confidence. $8,800 on Fando, $87 on DK. It's expensive. $31 on Yahoo. If you want to sprinkle him in, that's fine. He has the shot volume to potentially get there, get you there. But I really have a tough time going to Simons. Talk to me about this backcourt before we go to the front court.
So I'm with you on the upside from Lillard. I think it's really appealing with it being a three-game slate. He's not going to show up in lineups as often because he just doesn't – like, he's expensive. He doesn't project as a great option at 9,700, but you just have so much volatility with someone like Lillard that is just capable of taking over a game. And he's someone that is always interesting to me in tournaments when he's low-owned, and I typically just hate rostering him when he's popular, you know, outside of games where it's because he's missing, like, his whole team or something. But like, you get those stretches where he just can't miss a shot for 2 weeks and suddenly everybody's just happy to play him at 10-5. And, you know, I always avoid him in those spots when he's popular. But it's kind of like Steph Curry prior to this year. Curry this year, you know, has added peripherals and just been better than he ever has. But it's just somebody that their price tag is always a little bit high for their median projection, but it's not high enough for what their good games look like. And so on a three-game slate where you're only getting around 16% ownership going to Lillard, it is really interesting because, you know, you think about it compared to Jokic, for example, where Jokic is $1,500 more expensive on DraftKings. He has a more restrictive position, and he's pulling double the ownership. If you go to Damian Lillard, it lets you get away from some of that more questionable San Antonio value like Romeo Langford or Isaiah Roby, you know, guys like that, where they project well, but it's also very easy to imagine how they would fail. It lets you kind of get away from them, get to some guys that you like, you know, that are a little bit safer, project a little bit better. And then if you happen to get that big Lillard game, you're in a really, really good spot. So I do think it's an interesting tournament piece. Anthony Simons, I'm with you. He's a little more expensive than I would like with Lillard being back. In the 12 games that Simons has played with Lillard this year, he's still averaged 35 minutes per game, which is good, but he's only averaged 0.97 DraftKings points per minute. Pretty tough to want to get there at that price. We should have Josh Hart back as well. He's probable. I think that is a really interesting piece for Yusuf Nurkic, as weird as that sounds, because Nurkic's minutes, I think, become a little bit less safe now. When Portland has had all of their starters this year, we've seen them like to close with Justice Winslow over Nurkic. Granted, they didn't do it last time. They did leave Nurkic out there. He played 28 minutes. Would have played a couple more if it weren't for garbage time against Indiana. But there has been a tendency for Justice Winslow to be in that closing lineup. And when you have all five of the starters, it's more likely that happens. That being said, though, Nurkic is 7K and only getting 16.5% ownership. So it's not a major concern. I still think he looks like a good play, but it is something to keep in mind.
Yeah, and I think just taking some chances on these Portland team is definitely could pay off pretty nicely, especially with some of these starters. For sure in the front court, I mean, Jeremy Grant had that explosion week with no Dame Lillard. I don't see that continuing for sure by any means, but It's tournaments only. It's a three-game slate. It's really worth taking some chances on starters who's going to play some minutes and have high upside for sure. It's really the starters for me. I can't go to any of these bench guys. I think the Houston potential in the backcourt with no KPJ has more intriguing value than any of these second unit guys. Not enough minutes, not enough upside. Maybe Watford has some upside at 3,500. If there is some pathway to foul trouble for Nurkic, but maybe that's getting too cute. Predicting foul trouble is never the way to go on a three-game slate. But Watford at 3,900 on FanDuel. I'm just looking for some value to help us jam in Jokic and another stud. Maybe it's not going to even be necessary, but wrap up like the front court situation. Any of these second unit guys worth taking a flyer on? And producer Jordan, I did not say Manu's from Europe. I know he's Argentinian. Why are you lying?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have much interest in the second unit for Portland. Eubanks being the straight backup to Nurkic always makes him sort of interesting, because if you get Nurkic in foul trouble, then you're getting a $3,400 Eubanks stepping in the more minutes. He's not getting any ownership, so you know, I guess that's a reasonable spot to just sort of gamble in tournaments. But outside of that, I don't see anything that I'm interested in.
Yeah, to wrap up my interest on this Portland team, it's Dame, then Nurkic. As gross as it's going to sound, it might be Josh Hart just because of the minutes. And then there's a drop off to Grant and everyone else. Do you want to rank your Portland guys in interest?
Probably. I mean, like you said, the minutes on Hart are nice. I think Jeremy Grant is interesting at 7,400. He's only averaged 0.9 DraftKings points per minute in the games Lillard's played this year, but we have seen him take on just kind of a more assertive role recently. He's playing huge minutes. He's actually getting the most ownership on DraftKings right now. But I think all of Nurkic, Grant, Hart look pretty similar. Lillard, I really like in the sense of like a tournament pivot, but I do think he's more difficult to get to. Simons is, I think, the most difficult to get to.
Yeah, I agree. Simons is so difficult at that price tag. Man, he's going to just light it up for 3 to 9, burn us both, right? He's just going to shoot 10 threes and go like 8 of 10 and just screw us over. But that's a three-game slate for you. I'm willing to take some chances on high upside guys. Definitely should be on the table. Yeah, we zoomed through this three-game slate, but we have so much content the rest of the day. Obviously, a ton of short-form content across our YouTube channel, our sister YouTube channel, Odd Shopper. A lot of NFL content for tonight's Thursday night matchup of Baker Mayfield and Derek Carr. Have you heard about this situation with Matt Stafford that his career might be over if he doesn't want to get surgery and Baker Mayfield's going to be the future quarterback for the Rams?
No, I hadn't heard that. That's wild.
Yeah, he doesn't want to get neck surgery, apparently. That's the rumor that's out there that Stafford's career might be on the brinks of being over if he doesn't get surgery. Because there's a spinal around his neck, there's something that's hitting his spinal cord, and it might end his playing career, which is crazy that how quickly the Rams' future just like turned over from going from Matt Stafford to Baker Mayfield. But here we are. Make sure to check out our NFL Showdown content. So much. I think there's going to be the deeper dive live before. I think they have two shows tonight, right, Jordan, for the NFL shows. Two for NBA. So come back for a deeper dive. Josh and Adam will be back live before lock as well. And then live before lock for NFL Showdown. Ton of money, 500K up to first on DraftKings tonight. Enjoy the content. Have a great day, everybody. And good luck. Hopefully you guys can take something down and hit the like button on the way out as well. Thank you so much.